Okay, we will have several things going on after chapel today that we're still going to try to get done by 11:50. So we will have the abbreviated message here this morning. And then after chapel, we'll have some meetings with all the college students and then some meetings with smaller groups in preparation for the end of this semester. So just be aware of that. High school, you'll be able to get out early and go find some trouble to get into for 15 or 20 minutes. You have no problem doing that, I'm quite sure. So that should be exciting for you as well. Just more demerits for us to have more detention done. So got a lot to do around this place. So we'll be watching. All right, Proverbs chapter 2. It's not a Christmas carol, but few of us probably have never heard, not heard of the song, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." I'm going to entitle this brief message, "A Wise Christmas." Not a white Christmas. Now, though, some of you are going to be going to places, I understand, for Christmas where you're going to have to be putting lights on palm trees. Now, that's not a white Christmas. That's a good Christmas. I wouldn't mind that. That would be fun. No snowball fights, no snowmen. The palm tree, Christmas tree, you have to adapt. You know, you have to adapt to where you're at. Others of you are going to be going to places where Christmas isn't just white. November is white, and December is white, and January, February, March, April are white, and sometimes May is snowy as well. No matter where you're at, whether the Christmas is white or not, everybody can have a wise Christmas. All right, so that's what I'm dreaming of. I hope that's what you are planning for. Not dreaming about it, planning for it. If you don't, your Christmas season, the days and weeks of Christmas can be very unwise. They can actually be a wasted Christmas. And don't fool yourself into thinking that the devil doesn't have a plan for you for this Christmas. He would love nothing more than to take this time of opportunity, change in schedule, time for yourself, and turn it into something that you just will regret when the time is done and wish you could go back and planned for a wise Christmas. So this is going to be among the more simple thoughts that you'll ever hear in chapel. I'm going to take 12 verses from Proverbs and see how we can have a wise Christmas, or see some principles about wisdom that I hope every one of you will do more than listen to, but you will think about it. And not just think about it, but apply it. This is not my words. This is God's words. God gave these words to Solomon, and he shows us what the path to wisdom is and how we can look back with joy and not with regret to this time of year that we all have. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would bless this time. Though it's brief, we pray, Lord, that these truths that are timeless, they're eternal truths the scriptures would prepare us for the upcoming time that we have. Lord, I do pray for each of our students here, both high school and college, at this, what I think is a very important or critical time of year. It's a time when it's so easy for guards to be let down and for the flesh to get fed and for the devil to work his way into a heart. And Lord, I just pray that that would not be done by anyone here. Lord, we ask that you would give us your truth, put it into our hearts, and we would indeed plan to use these next several weeks in a wise manner. Bless our time here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 2, Verse 2, we're staying in Proverbs. We're going to look at 12 different passages. So Here we go, Proverbs 2, verse 2. The Bible here, back to verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. You see what the word there in verse 2 says, incline thine ear unto wisdom. What does that mean? Okay, if you're inclining, not to embarrass anybody right now, but you're the type that is leaning forward, right? You're inclining, right? It's kind of comfortable to sit in the recliner, right? Everybody likes the recliner. Head for the recliner when you get home and pull that lever. Your feet go up and you recline. You push back. What usually happens next if you recline? That's a great place to study, isn't it? Yeah, I'm going to study. I'm going to get study. I always study better when I'm comfortable. I'm going to get the recliner, and what ends up happening is you're covered in these papers and books. They become kind of like an educational blanket that just kind of covers you. And you have reclined. Often when you recline, your mind follows your body. You recline. Here the Bible says incline. When wisdom is being given, incline. Lean into it. Lean into it with your ear, with your mind, with your heart, ready to apply it. Tell me the wisdom. Lord, tell me this morning when I read my Bible what you have for me. I'm alert. I'm awake. I'm expecting something. I'm inclined. Wisdom comes to those who are looking for it. Not passive, not comfortable, but looking for it, leaning in. Incline your ear unto wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Lean forward to hear the wisdom. Look at verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And what follows, the results of wisdom are wonderful. It protects you in verse 12 from the ways of the evil man. It protects you and delivers you in verse 16 from the strange woman. When you have wisdom, you have the discernment to stay away from a bad influence as a friend. And men, you have the discernment and you have the heart to stay away from the strange women that the devil will bring in to your life. These are great results, but they don't come on accident. They come by you determining, inclining your ear to the wisdom. I want to hear what the Bible says. I am listening to reproof. I am listening to the preaching. I am preparing for a wise future. To get trapped by the evil man, to get drawn into those that are living lives that aren't pleasing to God, to get lured in by the strange woman, that's unwise. And that doesn't have to happen to anyone. The more we listen, the more we're committed to wisdom, watch, the safer that we are. There are wonderful results. There are eternal results when a person says, I'm going to search for and seek for wisdom. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Bow your ear. When someone bows down before someone else, they're showing respect. They're showing that that person is very important and they are there to listen and to hear. Here we're told to bow our ear down unto understanding and attend to wisdom. Why would we do that? Because there's nothing more important. The Bible talks and there's hundreds of verses in Proverbs and other places about wisdom, and we don't have time for those. But Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. So we recognize it as that. we bow our ear down to that. Look at chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9:10. Preparing for a wise Christmas. Here are some ways to do that. Proverbs 9:10. Here's where it starts. Here's the starting point. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Where does it start at? Where do we start on this path to having a wise Christmas? Fearing God. We fear God. That's the start. When we don't care what God thinks, we don't really fear what the consequences of our words, our thoughts, our actions, we're not going to have wisdom. We're going to be out there on our own. We're going to be out there listening to others, getting drawn away. It starts with the fear of God. That's the start. We have no wisdom without the fear of God. The fear of God makes us desire and crave and have to have wisdom. Why? Because we realize what we are. We realize who God is. We need to hear from God. We need his instruction. We're hopeless without it. We're going to be caught. We're going to be destroyed without wisdom. So where do we start? Fearing God. What does God think about this when I'm around people? What does God think about this when I'm all alone? What does God think about this when I'm at church? What does God think about this when I'm with my best friend, just us two? What does God think about what I'm watching? What does God think about what I'm saying? What does God think about what I'm planning to do? What does God think about how I'm going to use my time? Fearing God, that's the start. Everything starts there, and that's where the success is, and that's where you get on the road to failure. When we forget and leave or neglect or just don't think about the fear of God. So that is number four. Number five, chapter 10, verse 5. It gets very practical here. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. The wise person will use time and opportunity. There's a time to gather. And here the Bible says when a person gathers in the summer, he's wise. When a person sleeps in the harvest, when it's time to gather, he causes shame and is shameful himself. There are opportunities for every one of us. If we're wise, we will use the time and use the opportunity that we have. For many people, time just something that just passes by. They just kind of watch it. A wise person is going to grab a hold of that time and take that time, take that day and say, what, Lord, do you want me to do today? One of the most successful men that ever lived was George Washington Carver. He had a very simple morning routine. He got up, he got his Bible, he walked into his small little laboratory, if you could call it that, and he prayed and he says, God, what do you want me to do today? And that's where he learned all the different uses for the peanut that we are still so thankful for today. Otherwise, we'd have what plus jelly sandwiches? I mean, what would you have? We need peanut butter. Thank you, George Washington Carver. Appreciate that. He got up. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Can we not say the same thing? Lord, what do you want me to do today? You know what would happen if we did that? God might tell us. He may just tell you. He may tell you something that you would not have thought about on your own. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Who can I... Somebody want me to talk to today? Something I can do today? How do you want me to pray today, Lord? If you pray and you ask him, he'll tell you. So we have time, we have opportunities that a wise person is going to grab a hold of. Chapter 10, verse 31. 10, verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. Here's a way to check our wisdom. It's with how you use your mouth. Your mouth your words either reveal wisdom or they reveal your lack of wisdom. How you use your words, how you use your mouth is a good check for whether or not you are living a wise Christian life. Your words eventually will reveal what's in your heart. So a wise person, the Bible here says, the mouth of the just is going to bring forth wisdom. Why? Because that's what's inside. That's what's inside. What's inside is coming out. On the other hand, the froward tongue is going to be cut out. Verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Watch your words. Watch your words. Let's look at chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, 10. Planning for a wise Christmas. The Bible here says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Here we learn that a wise person can handle conflict. Do you know every one of you are going to have conflicts? Every one of us are going to have problems, and often those problems revolve around that certain person. You can see their face right now. You don't even have to close your eyes and imagine them. We just said that person, and there they are. In just vividly right before your eyes. What are you going to do with that? Is there any solution for that? Does the Bible talk about that at all? The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. So how does the contention stop? Well, pride has to be replaced with wisdom. And what does it say? With the well-advised, there is wisdom. Well, how do you get well-advised? What's the best way to get well-advised? What's the best way you can prepare to handle contention and conflict among each other? Be well-advised. How do you do that? I say we go to the Bible. I say we go to the Bible. You know what is still true? It's true for many, many years now. The Bible has all the answers to life's problems. Did you know that? I heard that when I was 5, and I'm not 5 anymore. But you know what? Christians have heard that since the Bible's been written. The Bible has the answers to all of life's problems. I've got a problem. Is there any answer for that? There is. It's here. Don't expect to get an answer if we come to the Bible and keep our pride. All that's going to happen is then you're going to have spiritual contention. You're going to take that contention and make it spiritual. Oh, that's really going to help. And with the well-advised or wisdom, the Bible will teach us how to handle conflicts if we go to it without our pride. Chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Want to have a wise Christmas? Walk with wise men. Amen. Amen. How do you know they're wise? What do they talk about? Their words reveal. What do they talk about? What do they do? What do they do with their time? Walk with fools and be destroyed. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Walk with wise men. Well, I always hang around Christians. Okay. What about on the friends that you have behind the screen? Companion of fools will be what? Oh, I don't. They're behind the screen though. What about on the screen? Walking with wise men? Are you walking with wise men? Walking with wise men? You make fools your companions, whether they're people you can see and talk to, or whether there's some person in cyberspace that you think is your friend, or some great show that you just can't wait to get back to, and oh, I can't, I'm gonna have TV marathon. I'm gonna have a great Christmas. Are you? Companion of fools? Be destroyed. I'll tell you what, that's one way to have an unwise Christmas. Spend it with the fools. Whether you're looking at them in person or whether they're behind that screen. Don't walk with fools. Let's look at chapter 14, verse 16. Chapter 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. Fears who or fears what? We already said. They fear God. A wise man feareth. Feareth who? Fears God. And because of that, they do what? They depart from evil. Why? Because they fear God. It just works together. I fear God, I depart from evil. Why? Because that's not fearing God. I fear God more than that. I'll depart from evil. That's wise. That's wise. It's a good decision. It's a good, you are going to please the Lord with your life when you do that, when you fear him first. How about chapter 15, verse 31? 15, verse 31. To have a wise Christmas, how about this? The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Listen to reproof. Well, that means I got to admit that I'm not perfect. Oh, sorry. I forgot. You were that one person that slipped through and missed the original sin. You know, the inherited sin, it didn't taint you. You're that one. We've been looking for a long time. We knew that the Lord came to earth and lived sinlessly perfect, but we were always looking for that second person that did too. Guess what? That's none of us. Guess what else? If you hear reproof, you got someone that cares about you, is what you got. You got someone that's willing to risk a little bit of awkwardness to help you out. You got that friend, and you guys get along so well, and you never ruffle each other's feathers? Do you really have a good friend? Now, I know some people get along very well. That's fine. But iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You are proving your wisdom by how you hear or don't hear reproof. Your words prove it, and whether or not you receive and respond to reproof also proves your wisdom, your level of wisdom. Right? You have a reprover, you have a friend. You have someone that cares. That helps you be wise. Chapter 17, verse 24. I had to think about this verse for a little bit. I read it recently. I had to think about it because I didn't quite catch it the first time. But Proverbs 17, 24. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. So here we have a person with understanding. And the Bible says, before him is wisdom. So here we have a man, he's walking, he has understanding, and before him is wisdom. So he's walking according to wisdom. He has understanding. That's how he's walking. Okay. On the other hand, the Bible tells us here, eyes of a fool, what's before him? Wisdom? No, just everywhere. Whatever is in the earth, the ends of the earth, anything he can see and do, he has no direction. He has no guidance. He has no definite path that he's going down. He'll get pulled anyway, whatever circumstance or setting he's in, that's how he gets pulled. His eyes are in the end of the earth. He's a fool. But a man that has understanding follows wisdom. Wisdom is guiding him. Where does that wisdom come from? Well, it starts with fearing God. It follows on by staying in the right friends, staying and walking with wise men. Goes further in persons listening and hearing to reproof. They're inclining their ear to the Bible, to the preaching, to God's word. They're inclined, they're interested, they're wanting wisdom. And that wisdom then becomes the path that they walk down and follow. Lastly, number 12, chapter 24, verse 5. Chapter 24, verse 5. Proverbs 24, 5. Very simply, a wise man, ladies, that doesn't leave you out, a wise man is strong. Strength. If there's anything that we as Christians need today, we need to be strong. We need strength. Why? Because the world is strong and getting stronger. Our flesh is never going to let us go. The devil is strong. He's a formidable foe. We need strength. Where does that come from? Wise man is strong. A wise man is strong. He's ready for conflict. He's ready for the battle. He has the strength, ultimately, of God behind him, because he has been willing to fear God. He's been willing to apply wisdom in his everyday life. The result is a strong Christian, a strong woman of God, a strong man of God results from wisdom. This Christmas season will pass very soon. It'll pass by. Most of you will be back in just a few weeks. All of us together, individually, will be looking back on what we call the Christmas season. And we'll look back at either a wasted Christmas. That wouldn't make a very good song, would it? I'm dreaming of a wasted Christmas. I mean, someone may have written that, but I don't think it sold very many copies. Didn't make it into, you know, popular society very well. Or are we going to say, I'm not dreaming, I planned for and I had a wise Christmas. Amen. What you look back on, listen, what you look back on, to a large extent, will be determined by what you do now in preparing. You prepare for a wise Christmas, you'll have one, and you'll come back excited, continuing to incline your ear for next semester. You have a wasted Christmas, you'll come back without that joy that was preached about yesterday, wishing I could have done things a little differently. Well, here's your chance. Now we know a wise Christmas.